If you're joining with us from on the internet, we want to welcome you also. And thank you for joining with us. We want you to know that this service is being streamed live as you see it now. But if for any reason you have missed the Bible study, or you missed a part of it, or you're not able to watch everything now, you can still come back later. It's on YouTube and it'll be there for a couple of weeks or thereabouts. So you can download it later on and watch it at your convenience on your particular device, wherever you are, all over the face of the earth. So we join with us. And as you join with us, the Lord will also do you good. The Lord will also grant his peace in your hearts and in your homes, and you'll be greater in God in Jesus' name. Amen. So I bring a word today which I believe is a word for this season that we're told is a season of recovery, a season of restoration, and a season of jubilee or release. It's also a time, like Pastor Lee was preaching, a time of vengeance, a time of recompense. Amen. A time when God is coming to make a distinction. And that distinction is going to be so clear, it will be unambiguous, nobody will be able to gainsay it. A distinction between those who are serving him and those who don't. Amen. And God has been doing this progressive work for quite some time now. I think it was 2 years ago, Mommy brought a word about the changing of the priesthood from Eli to Samuel, and from the kingship from Saul to David. And there was a message in that regard that Pastor Mommy put together. I have not forgotten it. And that's what's been happening, folks. There's been a changing of the priesthood in the church on earth from Eli to Samuel. Eli was a priesthood that was allowed the glory to depart from Israel, but Samuel brought it back. Amen. And so there's a Samuel priesthood in the making, and the change is taking place as we speak. And also in the kingship, the leadership is changing from the kingship of Saul, the head and shoulders above, to a David, the David who will walk in all the will of God. Amen? Saul had his own agenda. David has only one, Lord's agenda. Amen. But what I want us to see here is that the hallmark of both the Samuel priesthood and the hallmark of the David kingship is faithfulness. And I've titled this message, Faithfulness Required in Stewards. We'll see where that comes from in a minute. But the essence is, give me 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 34. This is God pronouncing judgment upon the house of Eli after he had allowed his sons to misbehave to the point that the ark was stolen, was taken away from, and the glory departed from Israel. So he pronounces judgment upon the house of Eli. But look what he said. 1 Samuel, where are we? Hello? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 34. A little slow. Lay hands upon somebody over there. 1 Samuel, and we've looked at verse chapter 2. Ah, there, okay. All right. And this, let's read together. And this, now he's talking to Eli, the priesthood that was blind, that could not see. Several priests, there are many priests that are blind in this day. We're talking about that in another one. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These are the ones that are misbehaving and sleeping with men in the temple, taking the offering of the Lord. And the guys are not cautious, so God brought judgment. And in one day both of them will die. Next verse, the next verse where I'm going to. And I will raise me up a shout that word. A faithful priest that shall, now check this out, thou shalt do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I probably don't even have to read Acts chapter 13 verse 22. Because we know that the same thing was required of David. So I found in David, well, let's just go there. Well, you see, what he's saying here is that he said several things. He says, I'm going to raise up a faithful priesthood. And the mark will be faithfulness. And he will do all this in my heart. What was the testimony of David? I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So both the kingship and the priesthood merged together. The Samuel and the David merged together, and they continue in David. Because he said, I will build. He didn't build Samuel a sure house. Oh, Shekinah, Pastor. The sure house was promised to David. Because he's taught to build God a house. God said, you are not going to build me a house. I will build you a house. Even give you the sure mercies of David. Amen. But the essence I'm trying to make is that God demanded faithfulness. Faithfulness is a key requirement of divine priesthood and kingship. And then the Lord brought a scripture to my heart. I've already quoted it in the past, but we'll go there anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. We're talking about faithfulness required in stewards. Let's read it now. Let a man, come on guys, let a man, so account of us. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul preaching. Pastor, he didn't know. This is the Apostle Paul's word. He's speaking here, I'm just a little bit background now. He's talking about the apostolic ministry. He said, let us, if you read in one translation, or maybe you read it, I think it's in Amplified, it says, let us apostles. But really, it doesn't only, in the manifold wisdom of God, it doesn't apply to apostles, it applies to ministers of Christ. And guess what, folks? Do you know you're a minister of Christ? Every single one of us is a minister at a different level. And as you grow, like Pastor will say, you grow from level to level. Your point, your focus is the perfection and fullness of Christ. We'll see why that's so important in a minute. But the essence is, as you're growing, your ministry at different levels. First the blade, then the ear, then the full cord. It doesn't matter what anybody tags himself. It's the anointings that determine who and what you are. Amen. But let's read this. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and you didn't get it. That "and" is a conjunction, which means he's making a distinction. Ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And the Lord said, you can be a minister of Christ, but not a steward of the mysteries. There's a distinction there. It's hidden, but it's there. Because the next verse brings it out. Next verse. Moreover, because above all, it is required in stewards. Back up to verse 1. Back up to verse 1. Ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Next verse. It is required in stewards of the mysteries of God that a man who is a steward of the mysteries of God be found faithful. Thank you. So, this is it. It is required for the man. Give me this, back it up. Give me the Amplified. Let's see what it says. Give me the Amplified. Hell. Moreover, it is essential. No, give me, go back to verse 1. So then, now this is what I was saying. He's talking about his apostolic ministry, speaking as an apostle. But it doesn't apply exclusively to the apostolic ministry, because everyone is a minister at one level or the other. Even though everyone is a minister of Christ, like we just made that distinction now, not everyone is a minister, a steward of the mysteries. That takes growth. So then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and steward trustees. You know, there's an element of trust involved. There's a faithfulness required when you're putting that trust of the mysteries of the secret purposes of God. Why is it secret? It's hidden away from anybody who's not faithful. Revealed by the Spirit. In response to a seeking, searching heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with part of your heart. Whew. So, give me this in NIV. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh. So then, same verse. Men ought to regard, check this out. Men ought to regard us as servants. Do they regard us? Is it every servant that is regarded as every quote unquote minister that is regarded as a servant of Christ? And is it everyone that is entrusted with secret things? This is what ought to be. But we see possibly a piece of belief this morning. It's not so. Because people are their own secret purposes are different from the secret purposes that God wants. That's it. Next verse. Give me the next verse. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. What are we saying? The Lord is emphasizing here the essential requirement of faithfulness among his servants, and in particular, rightly divided the word of God now. Faithfulness among those to whom he has and will commit the mysteries of his divine purposes. But what do we see in the church today? I'm going to go to a scripture. We'll read just two verses, but it captures the picture. There are other verses, but this is one the Lord brought to my mind. Give me Psalms what? Psalms 12 verse 1, quickly. Psalms 12, we want it to be moving quickly so that we can get the whole message in. Help me, Lord. It says, help, Lord! No, this is a cry for help. Help, Lord! For the godly man ceaseth. For the fell from among the children of men. Now you might say, this is children of men. I'll explain that in a minute. Let me read the next verse. They speak vanity. Every woman is neighbor with what? Flattering lips. And with a double heart. This is a picture of the sons of men. But what determines the sons of men is what the church is. You didn't get that. As a church goes, so goes the earth. What is preponderant in the nation today is what is preponderant in the church, because the church is a supervisor of the nation. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. The Bible says, I say first of all, that prayers, supplications, giving of thanks, and intercessions be made for all men and kings and those in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, not double-heartedness, in all godliness and faithfulness and honesty. In other words, if that is not happening, the church is not praying as it should. Or the church is not having the impact that it should. So this is a picture of what happens when there's a lapse in faithfulness in the church. What about that? That says you're the salt of the earth, doesn't it? You're the light of the world, doesn't it? He says the church, Pastor Lee said beautifully. Thank you, Pastor Lee. Good word. It says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. You know, if there's truth lacking in the nation, it's because it's lacking in the church. There's no way to, you can't run away from it. Take your heart of responsibility, folks. Hello, church. Anyway, we're in silence. So we see here, a twofold distinction. First, they're ministers of Christ. Then they're stewards of the mystery. And it is mysteries of Christ, of God. And it is required that a servant be found. I want to dwell on that word found. Found faith, which means that it's rare. You've got to look for it. It implies that faithfulness is not immediately obvious or apparent. It has to be found. I sought for a man to stand in the gap. A faithful man who can find. You got to find them. It's not apparent. Let's go to the scripture. Let's see what the scripture says about faithfulness. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Help me, Lord. Matthew 25 and verse 45. We're going to try and read it and zip through it. Lord, have mercy. 25:45. Then shall they answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one. We understand this. This is when it's talking to about the goat and the sheep. All right. Next verse. All right. And these shall. Is it right? Did I get it right? No. Is it Matthew 25? Where it says, who is that servant that when the Lord cometh? Well, can you find that scripture? I think I got the wrong Matthew. So Matthew somewhere, as I read it this morning. But I must have. Give me that scripture, Matthew. I believe it's verse. Anybody got it yet? Blessed that servant who, when his servant, when his master cometh, he shall find so doing. Oh dear. I think I've missed it. Can somebody find it for me? 24. Thank you. I see, I wrote one more. See, that's what happens sometimes. Sorry about that. Okay, Matthew 24. Give me verse 45. Thank you. 24. Thank you so much. Matthew 24. Yeah, you're right. And it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, where did his Lord go? He went to a far journey to obtain a kingdom and return. Speaking prophetically. Who is Lord, when he cometh, shall do what? Find so doing. Verily I say to you that he shall make him ruler over his house. But if and that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants. How is he going to smite his fellow servants? By the word of God. preaching the word to inflict upon them guilt, pain, so that they will do what he wills. Give him money. How have I been to play? You will not go there in Jesus' name. Where? I remember once somebody, I met a pastor. I didn't want to call him a pastor. But he says he was a pastor. Anyway, so I met a man who said he was a pastor. And what he was boasting about, he didn't boast that he had sheep, that he had, you know, impacted the sheep. He was boasting to me. I just sat there looking at him. He was boasting to me that when he went to one church, he raised 2.something million. That was his calling card. I said, I didn't have to answer him. I just kept quiet. Sometimes just answer not a fool. That's your own credential as a pastor. Now whenever you go, they give up. How did he do it? By his words. Inflict word upon them. Inflict them. Tell them untruths, lies, half-truths. Tell them that each step on this place is 1 million naira extra. And they come in droves. That's possible. It's witchcraft. Begin to smite his fellow and to eat and drink with the drunk. Who are the drunken? The ones who are drunk with the wine of Babylon. And they're just acting in the script that the wine that Babylon's whore has put in their hearts. They just play it out in church. It's happening all over us, Pastor. He said, but look, let's read the finishing. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looked not for him, and an hour when he's not to wear off. Suddenly. I didn't even know that. I mean, that just dovetailed. You know? And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. So, this is an unfaithful servant. The first three verses describe the faithful servant who, when his Lord comes, will find him, you know, giving meat to his household in due season. We didn't read verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat? That's what a faithful ruler does. So instead of fleecing the flock, he should feed the flock. There's so many people fleecing. Pastor Dear read. Fleecing the flock. Give me Ezekiel. I think it's Ezekiel chapter, what is it? Ezekiel chapter 34. Yes, 1 to 5. Quickly, we'll read that, blast through it, and then continue. Are we getting something out of this? Look what it says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Ezekiel 34, next verse. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd. Should a shepherd not feed his flock? Should a shepherd not feed his flock? Say to them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Next verse. You eat the fat. You clothe you with the wool. The wool is from the sheep. They all skin the sheep. You kill them that are fed. Now, they don't take a knife and cut the guy's throat. The ones that are fed are the ones that are doing well. They don't kill them by slaughtering them. What they do is that they take all the stuff that they have. They take their, what keeps them fat and fed. They say, this one get money. They appoint him as a head bishop and the guy will be churning out. He has to make a move now to keep his seat. It's a system. Somebody has a little bit of change in his pocket. I have a friend. I said, don't, my bow. You are now looking prosperous. God has brought you through the mill, through the ringer. You are now prosperous. They're going to offer you pastor. And lo and behold, today is a pastor. Because the guy was boofing up. He was getting so clean. They said, this one, he must have a church. He said, next you know, blah, 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 blah. The guy's running the church. But he's hardly ever there. And they're not getting to all that. But that's what I'm saying. This is what's going, fleecing the flock. Next verse. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them out there, but you feed not the flock. Next verse. The disease, so many. The disease you have not strengthened, you have not healed that which was sick, you have not bound that which was broken, neither have you brought again that was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. The good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and seeks the one. They don't go after the one. You all learn, okay, fine, I've got 99 here, we'll manage without you. But with force and with cruelty, you have ruled them. God is not amused. Mercy, Lord. I don't want God to have you on saying, you do this twice. Okay, let's just do that. For all these shepherds we're talking, there's a suddenly coming. And it's not going to be pretty. It will not be pretty. But for us, will be faithful stewards in Jesus' name. Now, what is a steward? Or who is a steward? That says, required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is one who, one, manages the property or affairs of another. Two, he administers the as an agent of someone else. So he manages, he administers. And also, number three, he has charge of the household of another. Keep this, you know, in the spiritual respect. I mean, in the spiritual aspect. Amen. He has charge of the household of another, directing the servants and other members of the household in accordance with the will of the owner of the household. That is a steward. A steward is not without power, but he's under authority. So, a faithful steward manages, administers, and has charge of and directs, four is number balance, the property of another household according, and the servants thereof, according to the dictates of the owner of the household. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, we the ministers of Christ are required to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. Or, now, I'm going to put that stewardship inside. Or to faithful, everybody say faithfully manage. Say faithfully manage. Faithfully administer. Faithfully keep the charge of. And faithfully direct the household. I'm not hearing you. And faithfully. People don't like that word faithfully. Because it puts responsibility upon you. Oh, yeah. Faithfully direct the household and servants of God in the mysteries. In the mysteries of the gospel of God. What are the mysteries of God? Now, you're going to find that word mystery all over the Bible. In particular, in the New Testament. It talks about the mystery of godliness. In 1 Timothy, talks about, is it 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, talks about mystery of, you know, Christ bringing all the Gentiles and the Jews into one house. But the all those mysteries that you see, the mystery of God, the Gentiles partaking of the promise of the God in the gospel, that mystery of that we will demonstrate to principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God is a mystery, but everything is encapsulated in the mystery in Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:26. This is the root of all the mysteries of the gospel. Even the mystery, the Bible says. Let's read together. Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. He's talking here. He says, now he's made manifest. Whom God. Now he's talking about the saints. So the saints whom God would make known. To whom God would make known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is what God wants all saints to know. But we see a paradigm now where 99% of saints do not know. What happened? What is happening? There are no faithful stewards to declare, not just declare, but to manifest the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why most saints don't know. But that is not the fault of God. God has given us an understanding of the mystery. Next verse. Hello, somebody. Whom we preach. Now, this is, folks, we're going to read a verse. Maybe we shouldn't read it now. There's a verse in the book of 1 Timothy chapter. It says, whom we preach. Warning every, I'm bringing a warning today. Pastor D was sounding a warning this afternoon, this morning. Whom we warn, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, apostolic, that we may present every man. These are humongous words, but the church has largely ignored it. They don't even talk about this. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 6. Whoa, Lord, have mercy. Where is it? I just keep bubbling in my heart. I want to read it now. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I can't remember the verse where he's talking about. If any man does not agree to the God, words of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He's talking about wealthy, but there's a gem here. He says, if any man teach... Now, folks, get this. This is what God is majoring and zeroing on. He says, if any man... Let's read it together, folks. Don't be silent. If any man... Minister of Christ or not. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and he now defines what those wholesome words are, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to God-likeness. Any man that says anything contrary to the words of Jesus and... Words of Jesus, minister of Christ. And to the doctrine according to godliness, stewards of the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Next verse. He's proud. Knowing nothing. So what is he preaching? Nothing. Ever learning, not knowing the truth. But doting about questions and striving over. And that's why there's envy, there's strife, there's evil surmises, and all this nonsense about prosperity without soulish prosperity in the church. I just leave it there. He says, that's what he says. Withdraw. What he says? Perverse. Let's read it. That's too much there. Next verse. Perverse disputings. Men of corrupt minds. Those who are not talking about God-likeness are not. That is their corrupt minds. Their minds have been corrupted. Ministers of Christ, though. So-called. Destitute of the truth. What is the truth? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Supposing that gain is godliness from such, withdraw thyself. But that's where people flock to. Having itching ears, hearts in synchrony with their covetousness. Hear the word of the Lord, O Samaria. Your calf is going to be destroyed. So that's it. This is the mystery. And so, the mystery is what? The growth from spiritual babyhood to mature sonship. So we inherit the fullness of the... There's nothing else, folks. That's the whole ballgame. Now, in the process, you see, different things. That's what Pastor... Oh, thank God for that Pastor's word. He said there are many giftings, but there's only one calling. And it's in the pursuit of that one calling that everything else will be... Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and all the other gifts will be added. Amen. Folks, this is it, the mystery. But there's no faithful people to carry it. How shall the Israelites be told? So this is what God is speaking to us by the Spirit through Apostle Paul. He called them ministers and servants and said it is required be faithful stewards of this mystery of growth from babyhood, spiritual babyhood, to mature sonship, to inherit the Spirit without measure, not only to inherit, to manifest it and teach others to do the same. If you haven't taught others, you are not yet faithful. Oh Lord have mercy. But you don't hear this preached. All you hear is money. Why is it important that we preach this? Well, like I said, there were very few faithful men. And this is a message of encouragement. It might not sound like it. It's a message of exhortation. Because you guys, by the grace of God, here and those who are under the covering of this ministry, you are blessed. You know the truth. You've seen the truth. You are seeing the transformation before your very eyes through the fathers. So you know. You're not ignorant. But there's so many out there that are ignorant. There's so many. It's not a message that brings the crowd. I said that's why it's a little flock. Initially. But when that little flock arises and it's coming forth from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in this day, in this hour, in this year, we're just waiting. The power's been released. All is got to be manifest. When it manifests, boom. It's not a final, it's not a message. It's not less a case. Faithfulness has time involved. It's not less a case or what's the other one, Jehovah, shap, shap. There's no shop about this. Yes! Yes! I remember, I wrote here, I said, Pastor said many years ago, he said, many are called. Few are chosen because of affliction. There are few. People run away from affliction. Everybody's silent. Nobody likes affliction. But says in faithfulness, he has afflicted me. That is faithfulness. That's God being faithful to you to know that this thing cometh not by just meandering. You will go through affliction through much tribulation. You become like God. That's what it says. I mean, it says, not when you enter the kingdom. The kingdom is godliness. Amen? You gotta go through affliction. That's why we don't go. This is not God, though. See, I bind it. It's not the devil. It's God. He's testing your limit and he's increasing you and stretching you out. Somebody asked me a question yesterday. Is everything still? Is God hearing our prayers? I said, you better believe he is. If he wasn't, we won't be here today. This nation would have been, thank you, Sister Lady, consumed long time ago. That's the plan. So that nobody in this nation, which has been, by God has said, will bring forth the first fruits will be around to bring forth any fruit. Talk less of first or the first fruit. Pastor, they would have gone to their own tents. And it almost happened. But thank God there's a mature church in the land now. That's why you can't stop praying. I was saying, we were sharing about this in Lean Sessions. Every day we've got to put up prayer. Don't mess around with that. All those are prayers. Every day. Perhaps I sought for a man. Even if it's only one person, God will hear. Amen? All those prayers that we pray, the what they call them, those prayers we pray on a daily basis, every week. The cluster prayers. The prayers we pray here, Gideon's. You know, Tuesday. God forbid, it will not happen. Dare to that. Stop that for 1 week, 2 weeks. You will see the difference. You will not see the difference in Jesus' name. God is holding this nation together because there's a purpose. But you see, the beautiful thing about it is that just like a baby, when the woman is in travail, there's twilight. But once the baby is born, all the remembrance of travail, the joy comes. You forget travail. But you've got to go through much travail. We'll enter the kingdom. So God is in total control. Don't worry. God is in control. So, now, let's see. So, who is a faithful steward? Who are faithful stewards? Who are faithful? That is a faithful man who can find. Very rare. Only God can find them, actually. And that's why, if God counts you faithful, you are in a good place. Because God has sanctioned you. He's found you to be faithful. Now, I want to show us two examples. Maybe two or three. The Lord helps me. The first, of course, is God himself. We won't examine, but we just think about it. God is faithful. Period. There's nothing about that. God is faithful. His faithfulness is to a thousand generations. Period. So if you want to find out what faithfulness is, look at God. He is faithful, period, and he's faithful for generations, period. That's why I said there's an element of time involved. Faithfulness is not in 2 weeks. It's not 2 years. Hello, it's not 10 years. It's not 10 years. Nobody said amen. So if you've been there for 10 years, you're faithful. Oh, ti faithful. Oh, ti faithful. So, then we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, quickly. Revelation 1, 5. The Lord Jesus is faithful. And from the Lord Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from sin. Jesus the Lord is faithful. I see here his faithful witness. That's important. Because to be faithful, you must witness what you are faithful to. You didn't get that. To be faithful, you must be a witness of what you are being faithful to. If you say, I'm not faithful, and you cannot, if you say, I'm faithful, and you cannot demonstrate the thing you are being faithful to, or give an explanation of what you are faithful to, you are not that faithful. That's why it says a faithful witness. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it says, he calls him the faithful and true. Which is, he's a replica of what he has been faithful to. Hello, somebody. So, you're a living witness to what you profess I witness it consistently over time. And I wrote here, in other words, you cannot be a faithful, true witness if you haven't reproduced or are not reproducing to become over time what you have been faithful to. Hello, some. You will just be like the hypocrites who say and don't do. The Pharisees. Jesus said, hear what they say, hear what they do and do what they say. Well, don't do as they do, because they say and do not, in comparison to the faithful witness, the Lord Jesus, who did and taught. Says of things that Jesus began both to do and teach. If you haven't done, you don't have the authority to teach. That's why his words were with authority and power. And the Pharisees' words were flat. That's why he said, this man speaketh with authority, with power. Why? Because he's done it. He's committed himself to reproducing what he's speaking. So when he's talking, he's not talking from head knowledge. He's talking from experience. Sure. Thank God for Pastor and Mommy. They are faithful too. I bow. You know something? Let me tell you how you know when a father is a father. When you try and do what he does, when he's not around, then you know that you're a child and he's a father. Tell me about it. I asked the pastors. What? Tell like, oh boy. Thank you. Thank you. But you see, if you don't stretch us, we will not grow. I said, so it's a blessing. But boy, I mean, I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. Hey, Pastor, faithful witnesses of the power of prayer to transform and make you God-like. We see it every time. They speak. Pastor Joy was, you know, giving testimony in his own part. They speak their words, do not drop to the ground. I can, that person was saying, I can never believe that day. Mommy said, we're going to be praying for Obama to be the president of the United States. Who? Black man in the White House. I've been up in America where I live. Now, I didn't say it too. I did. Like, you passed it. I said, what a word. I mean, I saw God. I said, Mommy, sure. But look where we are today. And not only did it happen once, Mommy said it's going to be two witnesses. I said, Pastor, Mommy, please, wait. Let's do the first one. When the first one. She pronounced it from day one. And they'll be almost like that. Just drop the word, and before you know it, oh my teacher. And then the pastor, as constant as day and night. Man, I don't know. I crave that grace. And we'll get there one day. That's where God is taking us to. And I wakes up at 3 o'clock. His eyes go ping. Now, we were just praying and discussing with him at 1 a.m. We will go and sleep. And this happened to me when the only time we went to, I think it was myself, Brother Elvin was there. Okay? Elvin was there. And one of the, I think I, myself, Elvin, and I thought she was the third, but we went to Cameroon. We're in pastor's room just until about 1 a.m. The pastor said, all right, everybody go and sleep, get a few hours of rest, and wake up early tomorrow. We all said, yes, sir. And we all went to deck our beds. I had barely closed my eyes, and the phone rang. Broom, broom, broom. I said, in Cameroon, that little boy, only one person can call me a pastor. You know how it is when you're struggling and you're trying to act like everything's cool, man. Shit. Morning, sir. Are you just waking up? I know, sir. The man was as sharp as a bell. He said, you need to get up now and wake up. And I said, yes, sir. Everyone called. He said, yes, sir. Everyone said, no. What do I say? I mean, this is consistent. Over years, I've slept in the same bed with him. It's happening, so it happens all the time. That's faithfulness. Not 1 year, not a decade. Not 3 decades and counting. I don't know what you're thinking, boy. That is faithfulness par excellence. The Lord continue to expand their course. But they're doing it not only for, they're doing it as an example to us. We'll talk about that in a minute. The problem is that some people today try to preach this sonship, but because, like Mommy said, they don't have the spirit of the Son, it falls flat. So they cannot sustain it and they cannot be faithful to it. So, what are we saying? Help me, Lord. To be faithful steward of the mystery of the gospel, you must first of all imbibe it. Then you must reproduce it. Hello, somebody. You have not been faithful till you produced, or till you are reproducing. Because it's the word that you imbibe that will reproduce that word in you. The Bible says the word, you know, will bring forth after its own kind. The seed, it's the word. The Bible says the source of the word, the seed, bring after its own kind. So what you imbibe, what you feed upon, is what you become. So you must first of all imbibe it. You've got to believe it, and then you imbibe it, you reproduce it, and then you witness it. That's where we are now, on the verge of that witness. Believe me, folks, it's going to be tremendous. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love and serve. But they're going to see it live and direct. A few people said amen. How many of you are faithful here? Don't put your hand up. If you didn't say amen then, we'll see when it happens. Don't be like that. Don't sit on the fence. Amen. It's not seeing that's believing. It's believing that is seen. Hello, somebody. A word for somebody there. Apostle Paul, who wrote the scripture, was also faithful. We saw that in the morning. It says, as one who has received mercy to be faithful. So he was faithful. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says he was a pattern disciple. It says he made God my sure pattern for all those that should believe afterwards. So he was faithful. He was faithful. I love this. So I fought the fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have been faithful. How many people today can say what he said? He knew what was there for him. It says a crown prepared for me. I know it. He's not speculating. He knew it. Before he left planet Earth. That's faithfulness. Those are rewards of faithfulness. Amen? And of course, we know he was certainly a faithful steward of the ministry of God. Timothy was faithful too, but not to the level that Paul was faithful. Because we see what happened to Ephesus. Something went wrong. Moses, Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, says Moses was faithful in all his house. Amen? So what do I say? Now, the Lord showed me thing about Moses. God showed me that Moses was faithful by his consistency. Folks, I'm going to say something here. Diligence is very good. But diligence is not necessarily faithfulness. Diligence is good. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, it says, giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure. You can give diligence, and then you can give all diligence. All means diligent unto the end. That is all. If anything short of your diligence to the end, you haven't given all. Help me, Lord. It is possible to be loyal, but loyalty is not necessarily faithfulness. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's good. Amen? Now, he said Moses, he said, when Moses, God did not tell Moses he's going to be 40 years in the desert looking after a bunch of stiff-necked, recalcitrant people who are idol worshippers in secret, but whose mouths praise God in the daytime. 40 years of his life. And he was faithful unto the end, even though he was not allowed to enter the promised land, because those people made him do something that he should never have done. But that didn't stop him. Faithful in making intercession, regardless of what they did or didn't do. The children of Israel were not very, God was not very pleased with them. That's why he says, God did not give you this land because you have done righteous. He said, because you are stiff-necked people. From the day I knew you, you've been stiff-necked, you are still stiff-necked now. A new generation. Can you imagine? That's faithfulness. Come rain, come shine. It's not what they say, it's what God said. Hello, someone. Faithfulness is time related. It takes time to test and to prove faithfulness. Like I said, loyalty is good, but it's not the same as faithfulness. Oh, God did not say, great is thy loyalty. It says, great is thy faith. Now, God is loyal, but it goes beyond loyalty. Hello, folks. Oh, help me, Lord, please. Orpah and Ruth. Orpah was faithful, was loyal, but Ruth was faithful. Orpah's lawyer. She left her house. She walked with Naomi. She was actually going part of the way. And then Naomi said, stop. Wait. Think about this thing. I don't have another child that you can marry. There's nothing waiting for me there. I don't know what is there. So look, please go back to your God. And I'm releasing you. Orpah thought it up. She thought it down. Up until that point, she would have been thought as loyal and faithful. But the faithfulness ceased that day. Only Ruth, who saw beyond Naomi to the God of Naomi, she had faith in that God. Not in Naomi necessarily. And so she was strengthened in her faith to be faithful to Naomi even unto the end and make that covenant. Orpah didn't see that. So her loyalty only went so far. And then she went back. Case in point, Joab. How do you know who Joab is? How do you know who Joab is? Joab was David's right-hand man, the captain of his host. They were in the desert together from day one. Joab was a wonderful guy. And if you looked at him all through, I actually went to read it. Look at him all throughout the annals of David's life in the desert before, even after he became king. It would seem that this guy is faithful. But you knew there was a problem. Because Joab did things that David did not ask him to do. He killed Amasa. He killed Abner. Killed Abner, killed Absalom, killed. So when the tide was shifting, when David became old, and that's where I'm getting this this young girl, this girl that was giving him warmth. I forgot his name now. Abishag, thank you. When he saw David was, let me just shift. So he shifted from loyalty to David and shifted his loyalty to Adonijah. God, you know, David, God is such, God didn't do it. David didn't do anything. But when he was going there, he said, see that Abner. That Joab. Make sure he doesn't die the death of man. He said, don't let his holy head go down to the grave without blood. And that's exactly what happened. He made a mistake. God is great. God doesn't forget. Faithfulness is not. Hello, escape. Hello, somebody. Judas seemed to be loyal. At least he was loyal, seemed loyal to the disciples. It was only Jesus that he was a thief. He was a thief. But to the outside world, it would seem like another faithful disciple. Hello, Judas walked in the anointing. He walked in the borrowed anointing, did miracles. And you say, what a faithful disciple. But you see, be careful what you're looking for. God will test. What was in the heart came out when it came to the time, crunch time. For Joab and for Judas, it was money. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? You cannot be faithful if you're looking for what is in it for you. You have to throw all that stuff behind. So faithfulness is not loyalty, it's not even discipline. So how are we going to be faithful? Let me start trying to close. Folks, there are many Judases in the church today, and God is just looking. And one day, a test will come. Make sure your heart is prepared. I'm speaking to yourself as myself. Be careful. God is going to find out what it is actually. You know, we sing all these beautiful songs. Oh, Lord, my God, fill me with more of you. When I'm singing those songs and I'm feel the anointing, I say, God, just please let this be true for me. Okay, you're laughing. All right. Arash Jiloma Tishare. I say, the heart of man is wicked. Desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Oh, Lord, my God. God will just be checking your heart out. And one day, just throw you a banana. Vroom. Be careful you don't tread on it and slip. Be careful. Because God is going to test the spirit of man. Can be deceptive. God will have mercy on us. So, how do we be faithful? Now, to be faithful, I say you must first of all have faith and believe. Because you cannot be faithful. You cannot be faithful without being full of faith. You have to understand, you must believe in something to be a faithful too. So you have to have an understanding Bible says faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It says faith in the KJV, but if you read the Amplified and the NIV, it says faithfulness. So you must be born again. Hello, somebody. You know, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and that tells me almost why it's not too common among even Christians who ought to have the fruit of the Spirit. Because there's not an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit among Christians in the church as we speak. Very, very little. Very little. God will have mercy. So first, you've got to be born again, be filled with the Spirit. You've got to imbibe the message of the mystery of the gospel through the teachings of prophetic and apostolic teaching. This is not foundational. Oh, Pastor Lee, thank you again for that word. This is not foundational. Hebrews chapter 6 says, we will go into perfection if God permits. In other words, God may not permit, even though that person is a minister, because he knows he will not be faithful. Where is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? See, he has no heart to it. Says this will do if. In other words, it's God that's going to decide when he's going to allow you to go into perfection. And he gives a reason later on, because if you go that far and you're not faithful and you fall back, you crucify Christ afresh. And there's no more redemption after that. So God would rather say, don't go to perfection, even though that's his will. Because if you go, he sees that there's something there that may hinder your being faithful to the end. So he says, all right. Folks, I'm saying a lot today, but that's why 2/3 are going to have to go. Because they will not. They will refuse. They don't have the many. They don't even have the capacity any longer to be faithful. They've been so warped with the message that is not. That God's going to have to start almost afresh. Raise up a new leadership that will now demonstrate and commit that faithfulness that they have learned over years to a brand new crop of people, a David dynasty. Oh, everybody's looking at me funny. Am I saying something that makes sense? So you buy the message of the mystery of gospel teachings from the apostolic prophetic fathers. I say it's not foundational teaching, but the preaching and teaching of the wisdom, the how of the how, to reproduce the Christ character in our lives and go on to the perfection and fullness of Christ, manifest the glory. Amen. So we reproduce the character of Christ by using the blood, of course we know, the word, the power of the Spirit through travailing prayer, having Christ formed in us through communion prayer to have wisdom and revelation concerning the Christ life. Very important. That's why communion is so important. The Bible says as we pray, look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7 says, and the things, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery. When you speak in a mystery, you're speaking in tongues, communion prayer. Even the hidden wisdom, the wisdom of the how to become faithful, to be under the how and how to be like Christ. The wisdom which God has ordained before the world unto our glory. That will take us into the glory. Amen. Next verse. Which now the prince of the world knew further than. Next verse. I want to go in somewhere. Which things we speak. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither enter in the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for him, for them that love him. How will it enter your eye? How will your ear hear it? How will it enter your heart? Next verse. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let's see. I'm looking for where it says, these things we speak by the Spirit. What verse is that? Quickly, let me find that. Which things we speak? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, glory to God. We're closing in a few minutes. Yes. Verse 12. Read verse 12. Verse 12. Thank you. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. That's why I say you must first of all be born again and be filled with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I said, but the Spirit of God, that we might know. So it is through the Spirit of God that we will know the things that are freely given to us of God. Next verse. Which things also we... So how do you know the ear, things that eye has not seen, the things that ear has not heard? How do you hear it? How do you know the things that have not entered the mind? By speaking them in mysteries in the Spirit. And as you do that, God begins to impart the word, because words paint pictures. Those pictures you painted, they're in the atmosphere. that in your heart, God begins to illuminate and enlighten them. That you know, oh, having made the resurrection of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. It hits you, bang. Say, wow, I am the resurrection and the life. Only one amen. You need to pray in tongues more. If you didn't say amen to that, that means you're not hearing. You're not seeing. It hasn't entered your heart. If somebody says you are the resurrection and the life, don't keep silent. Say amen. Amen. That's how it comes, folks. Says which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, which the Holy Ghost teacheth. How? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual in a way you cannot know. And then getting you to speak it out as a mystery. So you now impart it upon your hands. As I say, God who commanded light to shine in darkness has commanded the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to shine where? In the darkness of your heart. Through the power of the Spirit of tongues. Very important. We all do this in an attitude of meekness and lowness of heart. Honesty and humility. The Bible says honesty attracts the mercy of God. Honesty is speaking the truth to ourselves, God. Amen. So we grow in Christ, in the Christ life. Then we become a witness. I say we must first of all imbibe. We must reproduce. And then we must now declare it, witness. We witness this first by the borrowed anointing under covering of spiritual fathers. Amen. Just like the disciples. They were still children, but they also manifested their growth. God did that for us. So we have something to hold on to. If there was no way, if the disciples didn't do that, there's nothing for us to hold on to. Yes, well, we haven't seen it happen before. But the disciples, even though they were infants, God did that sovereignly. Just to prove to you and I that, hey, I'm not a liar. You will do it. You will manifest the glory. You will do miracles. And you're going to do even greater miracles. Because for us, we have a possibility as we are faithful to that word to reproduce the Christ in his fullness. Amen. And then as we remain faithful in that of another, Luke 16:12. As we remain faithful in the borrowed anointing, somewhere along the line we inherit our own. It says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who shall give you your own? Folks, let me say something about faith. Faithfulness is very important to serve a leader. That's how you learn faithfulness. You must serve another. You must serve somebody else. You've got to work on the dreams of somebody else faithfully over time for your own dreams to come to pass. If you have not been faithful in serving another man, who is going to give you that which is your own? The problem with the church today is that too many people want their own before they serve faithfully. 2 years. Let's say. What is that church there? You see them sending flyers. Babies. Fools. Forgive me, Father. I hope I'm not in danger of hellfire. But it irritates me. You see, where have you served? Who is your father? Who released you into ministry? I'll take a few members of the church. We're starting tomorrow. We're starting now. This is so. That's how they do it. Then the next thing you see flyers all over your street, on your car, everything. They're starting. Absalom. Thank you. Unfaithfulness, unregenerate children. Strange children. Forgive me, Lord. Mercy, Lord. So, God calls us to inherit the anointing in full measure, manifest his glory. Amen. And then finally, give me 2 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Oh, help me, Lord. Wow, I'm sure we're short of time. A few more minutes, just 3-4 minutes. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall also be able to teach others. The faithfulness you have learned and imbibed, the things you have learned, the stewardship of the mysteries of the gospel are not to remain in your heart. God has put them there so you can reproduce, imbibe it, reproduce it, manifest it, and then teach others to do the same. That's it. That's it, folks. That's how it's going to work. So you commit what you have learned, what you have manifested and seen to other faithful men so they can teach others. Amen. And the glory is going to be your advertising. To say that you are what you are saying is true. and say, this is our God. We have waited for him. Surely God is in thee. And when you speak with authority and power. Amen. We also obtain mercy by showing mercy to others. That says, blessed are the merciful, they receive mercy. And having honesty, I've talked about honesty of heart. And then, again, I'll repeat it. We need to look up to, copy and follow. Bible says, Jesus said, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow the examples of those who through faith and patience have become faithful stewards of this ministry. Faithfulness is required in stewards. And we see by the grace of God, our father and our mother, mommy, pastor in this house, the faithfulness over years, they stood when it was not convenient. I was here. And many of us were here too. When the whole world was castigating them, what is wrong? You know, it's not like this. You know, all these prophetic. And look where we are today. Who is laughing now? Integrity, consistency, stewardship, faithful stewards of the ministry. Amen. The Bible says we should be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Folks, this is it. And there are many blessings of faithfulness. This is just one of them. I says, the faithful man will abound in blessings. So what am I saying today? God has given us a charge. You're not only required to be a minister of Christ, but you're also made a steward of the mystery of God. Be faithful unto the end, and God will give you a crown of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. Thank you. Ask the Lord to have mercy. Son of him that willeth or runneth. Paul said, I have received mercy to be faithful. And that's how we're going to get it to. Faithfulness over years. Many years. Moses was 40 years. The Lord Jesus Christ was from the age of 18 to 33. Faithfulness. Every day, every morning. Faithfulness includes consistency, includes loyalty. All these things. It's as you are faithful that God develops character. There's no shortcut. No shortcut. And he's shown us the other examples of faithfulness in the Bible, particularly those who served others faithfully to the end. The place of learning faithfulness is in place of service. And when God makes you serve faithfully, it's because he's trying to make you great. Because the Bible says the servant is the greatest. So God, by faithfulness, is exalting you to become like him. Amen. I want to go with that song Pastor Lee sang in the morning. It really spoke to me. The song Pastor Lee sang, Dear Father.
Take from our souls.
Take from our souls.
Respond to the word, to put a hand upon our hearts, lift up another one in submission to the word of the Lord and to the God that has brought the word today. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Father, thank you so much for your word today that has come to remind me that you require faithfulness in your ministers, and in particular, faithfulness among those to whom has been committed the stewardship of the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I understand that in this house, because I am under the covering of the spiritual fathers of the house, that gospel has been and is being committed to me as a mystery, which I ask now for mercy to be faithful, to imbibe fully, to reproduce, to witness and manifest, and then to commit to others. I'm asking, Lord God, for mercy to be faithful. I humble myself and ask for honest and humble heart that will attract your mercy and your grace, enabling me to follow after those through whom faith and patience have inherited these promises, serving chosen leaders, being faithful in all things to reproduce the Christ, and so manifest his glory in this day by the life and the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are faithful to accomplish this in me and through me, making me a faithful steward of the mysteries of your gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, Rembe salama andere yele no no romare rembe de massa balema remba la kakoka romba kako romba de sele solo kun kaka te dompa roka sakale rembe sele mo romare ke bala kadua mare bele mazon solo kaka. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now take our healing prayer. Put a hand upon your head, your heart, wherever you need healing. If you don't know any particular place, just put it upon your head and the power will flow through the covering into our physical bodies as we pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we claim with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, because Himself, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and therefore sickness and disease and infirmity have no place in this my physical body. And therefore I now draw upon the power, the resurrection life and power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. I cause that power to flow now by faith into my physical body. From the crown of my head to every part of my body, all my internal organs, my brain, my heart, my lungs, my liver, my pancreas, my circulatory system, my nervous system, my alimentary canal, every part of my body, and every cell, and every DNA within every cell in this body, I speak unto you by the power of the Spirit under the authority of Father. I say you function perfectly without any more errors in the name of Jesus. I say you function as you were designed to function, and I declare by the stripes of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed. We are healed. We live in divine healing and health, and so we keep the laws of hygiene, of natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, we are healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Pray properly. In Jesus' name.